evident. Industrious troops were cautiously concluding their inspection of the ship's interior. One never knew when an even seemingly harmless freighter might be rigged to blow up in the face of an uninvited visitor. Eventually, a non-com spoke into his comm unit.
Ship's clear. No one on board. No anti-personnel traps encountered.
Startled by the sudden appearance of a tall, caped figure, the trooper stepped aside and came to attention.
Sir!
Kylo Ren ignored him as he strode past, his eyes raking every corner of the crashed vessel. Looking for... he wasn't sure. Something that might speak to him. Something recognizable, perhaps. There was nothing in the deserted cockpit, but he delayed leaving anyway, settling down in the pilot's seat. Something. His deliberation was interrupted by a thunderous roar as squadrons of X-Wings dropped from the sky, rocketing toward the hexagon-shaped bulk of the containment field and oscillation control system. Rising from the seat, he rushed out in time to see the Resistance fighters drop toward the massive structure and begin their bombing runs. Within Central Command, officers looked on in horror as one strike after another shook the hexagonal structure. Didn't the attackers realize what they were risking? Watching the aerial assault on the center's monitors and through its sweeping windows, a grim-faced Hux knew they probably did, and that it didn't make any difference to them. Turning, he snapped at a mid-level officer. Dispatch all squadrons! Take out every attacking craft, no matter the cost! When this is over, I don't want to see a single X-Wing aloft!
Yes, General,
replied the officer.
And engage Seekers!
The officer hesitated.
In an atmospheric skirmish, sir, Seekers will have a hard time distinguishing between our fighters and those of the enemy.
Hux didn't bat an eye. This is no time to worry about collateral damage. His voice was steely.
Give the order.
Yes, sir.
Almost in range.
As he sent his X-Wing into a steep dive, Poe knew this was one attack where failure could not be an option. The entire Resistance was depending on him and those following him in. One way or another, this First Order weapon had to be not damaged, not temporarily disabled, but completely destroyed. Automatic weapon systems, trackers, and controls were all very well and good, but when it came down to it, this kind of all-or-nothing combat boiled down to ships, their pilots, and how good both were.
Hit the target dead center as many times as possible with as many runs as we can get. Let's light it up!
As he let loose with the X-Wing's full complement of armament, he noted that similar bursts of destructive fire came from Snap's vessel. Rebel Alliance veteran 9-Num was there too, with him and blasting away with the full force of his ship's weaponry. When they finished with the building that housed the oscillator, Poe vowed silently to himself, there would be nothing left but a smear on the wintry landscape. It was not necessary to utilize scopes within the control room to see what was happening on another critical part of the base. Huge explosions erupted from the top of the distant oscillator. Further confirmation of the location and strength of the attack arrived in the form of blaring alarms and strobing warning lights. A flood of activity enveloped the base as the installation's entire complement was mobilized to respond to the assault from above. Black-suited pilots raced to their TIE fighters, as in the distance, Resistance X-Wings swooped around in a tight arc, preparatory to making another run. In the midst of the confusion, an officer shouted into the comm.
Report to your ships! Report to your ships now! 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 All pilots and backup, get your ships off the ground!
Walls of gray metal, lit from within, rose above the three intruders as they made their way down the corridor, only to be stopped by blast doors that had been closed ahead of them. An unfortunate safety measure because of the battle that was taking place above the containment control center, but one that Finn had anticipated. As Chewie began removing some small but powerful explosives from the duffel he had been carrying, Finn explained what they could expect from that point on.
"We use the charges to blow the blast door," he gestured. "The holding cells for prisoners are down that corridor. I'll go in and draw fire, but it's often heavily guarded, depending on who's being held. I'm gonna need cover."
Han eyed him intently.
"You sure you're up for this?"
"No,"
Finn told him.
"But this whole gamble is my call, so taking care of it is my responsibility. I'll find Rey."
He said it with so much confidence that Han was inclined to believe the ex-trooper just might pull it off.
"There's a footbridge that has to be crossed. Troopers will be on our tail, so we should plant charges on it, too. Take it down after we cross. That won't prevent a pursuit, but they'll have to go around to another passage, and it'll buy us some time. There's an access tunnel that'll lead us to the main hangar, I think."
His expression tightened.
"I just hope she's alive."
A movement caught Han's attention. Squinting, he broke out into a smile and pointed.
"Something tells me she is."
And there she was, climbing up an interior shaft wall directly toward them. Finn gaped in astonishment, not quite able to accept what he was seeing. Chewbacca moaned his relief at not having to deal with detonating explosives in such tight quarters. It took her a moment, long enough to bring to bear the rifle she was carrying, before she recognized the trio and lowered the weapon. Her amazement at seeing them was no less than theirs had been when they had spotted her. Running to Finn, she threw herself into his arms. Neither could hug the other hard enough or long enough. The embracing pair finally separated, if only to look into each other's eyes.
"Are you all right?"
a relieved Finn asked.
"What happened?"
His voice darkened.
"Did he hurt you?"
"Never mind me," she said. "What are you doing here?"
He smiled softly.
"We came back for you."
She tried to find something to say to that, something worthy of the sentiment and the risk they had undertaken. She failed miserably. Chewie, however, had something of his own to add. Whatever the Wookiee had uttered caused tears to well up in her eyes. Having never found himself in such a position before, Finn was unsure how to respond. Knowing well her inner toughness, he wondered what Chewbacca had said that could have inspired such a reaction.
"What'd he say?"
She sniffed and wiped at her face.
"That it was your idea."
If he had been unable to find the right words with which to respond before, her reply, combined with the look she gave him, reduced him to a state of temporary aphasia. "It was all very sweet and charming," Han mused, as he observed the happy reunion. If only he could forget that they were stuck on a hostile world, in a First Order base, amid squads of roving stormtroopers who were inclined to shoot on sight.
"We'll have a party later," he finally told them. "I'll bring the cake. Right now, let's get out of here."
Chapter 17. Rising from their base, a host of TIE fighters moved to engage the X-Wing squadrons. What had been a precisely plotted sequence of attack runs dissolved into chaotic dogfights as one X-Wing pilot after another was forced to break from formation to engage his or her own assailants. Where formerly the sky above Starkiller Base had been filled only with the scream of the invaders' engines, the blueness in which they had been operating now gave way to a cyclone of streaking energy blasts and explosions. Nearly colliding with an oncoming TIE fighter, Poe let fly at another with the full force of his ship's weapon systems.
"Cover for each other!"
There's a lot of them, but that just means more targets. Don't let these thugs scare you.
Blue 3,
Snap called out.
Got one on your tail. Pull up and give us a view.
Copy that.
Blue 3's pilot replied. Yanking back on her controls, Jess Pava took her ship up sharply, exposing the area in her wake to pose fire, which immediately reduced her attacker to flaming fragments.
I owe you one,
she called out as she sent her vessel diving back into the fray.
Yeah, you owe me another attack run. Try to stick close, all teams. Follow me in.
Despite being harassed by the swerving, diving TIE fighters that now seemed to be all around them, a clutch of X-Wings managed to get low enough to carry out another strike on the containment structure. A series of hits sent flame and smoke billowing in all directions. But as they pulled up and away, Poe saw that the building was still intact. Worse than intact, he noted. It scarcely appeared to have suffered any damage at all.
We're not making a dent,
he yelled, confident his cockpit pickup would relay his observations to the rest of the squadrons.
What's that thing made of, anyway?
A telltale on his console began demanding attention. Flicking his attention to the attendant monitor, his eyes widened.
Seekers.
Hundreds of Seekers, rising from launch batteries concealed beneath the soil and snow. Rising toward him and his fellow pilots, giving them little room to maneuver or escape.
We got a lot of company.
It was all he had time to shout before being forced to take evasive action himself. Between blasting out of the sky everything in front of him and avoiding those Seekers coming up behind him, he stayed in one piece. Barely. Other members of the attacking squadrons were not so fortunate. One after another, they found themselves hemmed in by multiple Seekers. One after another, the X-Wings went down, along with any TIE fighter unlucky enough to find itself in the immediate spatial vicinity. Able to follow the battle via hyperspace relay thanks to the two reconnaissance droids still operating above the surface of the planet, those in the Resistance Base Command Center on Dakar could only exchange looks of dismay. We weren't prepared for anything like this, Admiral Statura muttered. Our pilots will be annihilated. An exterior access door opened, and four figures came racing out into the snow, their attention immediately drawn skyward. They slowed to a halt. None of them was an expert in aerial warfare. They didn't have to be. The presence of multiple TIE fighters backed by a seemingly endless barrage of Seekers allowed anyone to predict the outcome of the battle. Even the most die-hard optimist would have conceded the inevitable. Han turned to Finn, his expression solemn, but his tone was the same as always, ready for anything. He gestured toward Chewbacca.
My friend here has a bag full of explosives that we didn't use inside. Be ashamed to make him haul them all the way back to the Falcon.
The Wookiee added a curt grunt of agreement.
What's the best place we could put him to use?
The oscillator's the only sensible target, Finn told him. But there's no way to get inside.
There is a way.
Everyone turned toward Rey. It was Chewie who ventured the question that had to be asked.
I've seen inside these kinds of walls,
she told them as the sky overhead continued to rain destruction.
The mechanics and instrumentation are the same as the Star Destroyers I've spent years inside salvaging. Get me to a conventional junction station. I can get us in.
Han nodded and smiled at her.
Get us in. If we can do that, we'll be ready.
A hasty search took them to a parking area filled with a smattering of vehicles. From the varied assortment, they'd settled on an isolated snowspeeder. Between Finn's training and Rey's knowledge of machines, they managed to get it fired up. As Han and Chewie headed for the nearest structure, Finn and Rey took off on the snowspeeder. Just in time, it developed, as a trooper monitoring the area saw them take off. When his single shot missed the accelerating vehicle by a wide margin, he followed up with a quick report.
Speeder stolen from Precinct 28!
The reply contained more than a hint of disbelief.
Stolen? Yes, sir. Unauthorized departure!
A pause, then...
We're tracking it. Sending a backup unit immediately.
Careening over a snowdrift, as Ray struggled to maintain control of the unfamiliar machine, they scattered small local creatures in front of them as they sped toward the containment center. From the ground, the hexagon loomed ahead of them. Occasional bursts of fiery energy flowered against its roof and sides as the X-Wings continued their attack. Finn could see that the number of strikes had decreased markedly, and the sky continued to darken as the curtain of increasingly opaque dark energy was drawn into the collectors that dominated the other side of the planet, blocking more and more sunlight as the containment unit situated at the planetary core continued to fill.
Snow is cold.
Ray squeezed the speeder between a phalanx of willowy alien trees.
It's the complete opposite of Jakku.
Try living here, Finn told her. There are only two seasons, winter and dead of winter.
A sudden boom, and the speeder's course wobbled.
They'd been hit.
Switching systems around like a card sharp dealing on a busy night, Ray succeeded in maintaining speed. A second shot barely missed them. A glance back showed a second snow speeder in pursuit and closing. Finn realized that the way its driver was shooting, if he got any closer, he could take them out with his next burst. They had to do something, and fast. Ray was skilled at driving, and he was skilled at... Switch! He yelled. They made the difficult change only because they had to, with Ray still in control of their vehicle, but Finn now in position to accurately return fire. Multiple blasts hit nothing as Ray slalomed around and between trees while Finn fought to take out their pursuer.
Damn driver knew what he was doing,
Finn thought with grudging admiration. The man might even have been a former squadron mate.
He tried not to think of that as he aimed and got off another burst.
This time his shot struck home, sending the trooper flying. Whether he'd killed him or not, Finn didn't know. But the pursuer's speeder slammed into the trees and burst into flame. Got him! As he turned forward once more, Finn's gaze was again drawn skyward. Not this time to the space above the hexagon, but distant, toward the horizon. Shafts of an intense, deep purple light were flowing there. A curtain of energy being drawn down by the weapon's collectors. He leaned toward Ray.
They're charging the weapon! We're running out of time!
We'll get there!
She yelled back at him. But she realized that they had only the slimmest of chances to prevent the destruction of the Resistance base and the entire Dakar system. Watching from cover, Han and Chewie waited until a trio of stormtroopers could be seen approaching a wide, heavy-duty service hatch. It was smaller than any of the major portals they had seen thus far, which meant, Han hoped, that it was likely to be lightly guarded. As the doorway opened, Chewbacca immediately took out the middle trooper with his bowcaster. Startled, the surviving troopers returned fire, only to be cut down by Han's unerring aim. Alarms began to blare, rising even above the cacophony of the nearby aerial contest. Within the open passageway, another stormtrooper darted back out of sight and hurriedly activated his comlink.
Enemy sighted and engaged at Oscillator Bay 6. Three men down. Send reinforcements!
Ray brought the snowspeeder to a stop beside a small black structure. To Finn, it looked unimpressive. But then, he reminded himself, remove a trigger from a gun, and while the trigger itself would look decidedly unimportant, its absence would render the gun useless. After opening a maintenance panel, Ray scrutinized the interior briefly before setting to work. One part after another was disconnected by her deft fingers.
Been doing this all my life. Never thought about it much until now. It was just something I did every day to survive. A routine, like breathing.
As if to demonstrate to herself that she was more than a little familiar with the components in question, she closed her eyes while continuing to disassemble the interior of the box.
and she opened them again. She was gratified to see that she hadn't missed a single connection.
Nice piece of instrumentation,
she commented absently.
I would have got at least 3 portions for this.
What? Absorbed in the spectacle of the ongoing battle overhead, the enormous streams of dark energy pouring down upon distant, unseen collectors, and a sky that continued to darken around them, Finn hadn't been following her reminiscence.
Never mind.
She continued with the work.
I was just pointing out how one small piece can be important. Like this, for example.
With her left hand, she pulled hard, and a small length of brightly colored flow fiber came away in her fingers. Now, inside the complex, an increasingly anxious Han allowed himself to breathe a sigh of relief as the service hatch they had been monitoring finally parted to reveal a deserted corridor beyond. There was no sign of the single remaining trooper who had reported their presence. Outnumbered, that individual had sensibly retired to wait for the requested reinforcements. As the 2 intruders rushed forward and stepped inside, Chewbacca let out an agitated moan.
Yeah, Han agreed. No kidding.
A quick check of the vicinity indicated that no one, organic or droid, was waiting in ambush. While grateful, Han knew that their surroundings were unlikely to remain peaceful for long. Hurriedly, he and Chewie divided the duffel's explosive contents.
Let's plant them at every other support column we can find, Han suggested.
When Chewie responded with a series of emphatic moans, Han reconsidered.
You're right. Better idea.
He indicated the nearest of the building's massive support structures.
We don't have the kind of munitions necessary to bring down more than one. I only hope we brought enough to do that much.
He gestured.
We'll put everything we've got on that one column. You take the top, I'll go below. We'll meet back here.
Unintentionally, their eyes met, and the stare held. Man and Wookiee realized it might be for the last time. Nothing more was said. Nothing more needed to be. There never had been, over the years, an excess of superficial chatter between the two whenever there was work to be done. Each knew his job and did it. That did not keep Han from pausing a moment to look back. When he did, he discovered Chewbacca gazing in his direction.
Same ethic, different species, same thought, Han mused.
He pointed stiffly.
Go, before things get messy.
Chewie complied, this time without looking back. Han watched him for a long moment. Then he, too, turned and raced off. There was a lot on his mind, but when one is emplacing explosives, it's usually a good idea to concentrate on the task at hand. Everything else would have to wait until they were done. He checked an install, then moved down to another level. In contrast to Han's single-minded efforts to place the explosive charges, Kylo Ren's thoughts were focused wholly on locating the as-yet-unknown intruders. Approaching the main entrance to the hexagon, he ignored the squad of backup troopers waiting there, even as they snapped to attention in response to his arrival. Without waiting for an order, one enterprising trooper hit the controls that activated the main portal. At a gesture from Ren, he and his companions followed their leader inside. The squad's presence was greatly diminished by the daunting interior of the complex. Around them, instrumentation and components hummed smoothly, ensuring that the expanding mass of dark energy that was accumulating at the center of the planet continued to be held safely in stasis until it was time for it to be released. Halting, Ren slowly scanned his surroundings. Even though they knew what he was doing, the troopers still marveled at the display. After a long moment of deliberation, he motioned them toward the upper levels.
They're here. Find them. Up there.
The squad immediately went into action, moving off rapidly in the direction he had indicated. Once they were out of sight, Ren turned slowly and headed downward. Weapons at the ready, the squad ascended, following prescribed search procedure and covering for one another as they advanced. Blind corners received special attention and added caution. From the shadows, Chewbacca watched them pass, admiring the precision with which they progressed, even as he kept still. Once they were out of sight, he emerged to plant another charge. Below, Han had finished setting a charge and was preparing to climb a bit higher to place one more, when a sound made him hesitate. The working structure was full of unidentifiable sounds, but this was different. Taking no chances, he slipped behind a wide vertical support. Either the sound would not be repeated, or a glance around the edge of his cover revealed its source, and his countenance underwent a grave shift. The figure that had paused to look over a railing and down into the farther depths of the structure was known to him. Here, Ren told himself with increasing certainty. He is here. Raising his gaze, he focused on one support column out of many. Slowly, he advanced toward it, prepared for whatever might ensue. Nothing did. There was no one behind the column. From concealment in a narrow chamber set into a wall, Han watched the caped figure stride past. His lips moved as he watched, and he mouthed a single word. Or perhaps it was a name. As he looked on, Ren moved out onto a walkway that spanned a vast open space. Pausing there, he looked around, hesitant, uncertain, before continuing onward. The sound of his boots, the sound that had alerted Han moments earlier, receded into the distance. Rising from his hiding place, Han looked back the way he had come. If he left now and managed to control his thoughts and emotions while retracing his steps, there was a good chance he could make it out of the building. If he was really lucky, he would be able to slip outside without drawing the attention of any searching stormtroopers or anyone else. Outside, if all had gone according to the hastily drawn-up plan, Finn and Rey would be waiting with transportation. A chance, then, to make it back to the Falcon before everything on this planet went to hell. A chance later for another reunion on another world. A face swam before his, its features aged but still soft. The voice that emerged from between so familiar lips, biting yet always affectionate, forming words that lingered in his thoughts, forming, at last, hearing a request that wouldn't go away, he knew. It would never go away. He made up his mind. Instead of retreating, he advanced. Instead of running for safety, he took up the challenge. There was no real choice, he told himself, as he advanced to the edge of the walkway and called out,
"Ben!"
It echoed across the gap, reverberated through the vast open space below. On the far side, a tall figure turned and retraced his last few steps.
Han Solo.
Kylo Ren stared across at the older man.
I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Take off that mask.
Han's tone was a mix of command and empathy.
You don't need it. Not here. Not with me.
What do you think you'll see if I do take it off?
Han moved forward slightly.
The face of my son.
Your son is gone.
He was weak and foolish, like his father.
Ren's reply was replete with pity and anger.
So I destroyed him. But such a small, insignificant request is easily granted.
Reaching up, he slowly removed the mask. For the first time, Han saw the face of his son as a grown man, and it jolted him. Both men were so intent on each other, so preoccupied with their encounter, that neither noticed the newly arrived presence on a railing overhead. Having slipped inside to search for Han and Chewbacca, Finn and Rey found themselves peering down from up high at the pair confronting each other below.
That's what Snoke wants you to believe,
Han was saying. He wasn't pleading, just stating a fact.
But it's not true. My son is still alive. I'm looking at him right now.
The exchange drew another onlooker, as on a level above, Chewie moved to watch and listen. Ren's eyes blazed.
No! The Supreme Leader is wise. He knows me for who I am, and who I can become. He knows you for what you really are, Han Solo. Not a general, not a hero, just a small-time thief and smuggler.
A trace of a grin flashed across Han's face.
Well, he's got that part right.
Similarly drawn by the sounds of conversation and disagreement, a third group of spectators had arrived. Held rapt by the confrontation, the squad of stormtroopers looked on as intently as did Finn, Rey, and Chewbacca. Fearful of taking an initiative that might be frowned upon, they awaited a command from Ren. Stepping out onto the walkway, Han moved toward his son. There was no hesitation in his stride or in his voice.
Snoke's using you for your power, manipulating your abilities. When he's gotten everything he wants out of you, he'll crush you, toss you aside. You know it's true. If you have half the ability, half the perception that I know you do, you know that I'm telling you the truth. Because unlike him, I have nothing to gain from it.
Ren hesitated. It's too late.
No, it's not.
Halfway across the walkway now, Han continued to move forward, smiling.
Never too late for the truth. Leave here with me. Come home.
Without the slightest trace of malice or deception, he cast a dagger.
Your mother misses you.
A strange sensation touched the younger man's cheeks. Something long forgotten. Dampness. Tears.
I'm being torn apart. I want to be free of this pain.
Han took another step, then stopped, waiting. A decision had to be made, and for once, it was not his to make.
I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it.
Ren moved out onto the walkway toward Han.
Will you help me?
Yes,
Han told him.
Anything.
Halting an arm's length from his father, Ren unclicked his lightsaber, looked down at it for a moment, and then extended it toward Han. For an instant that seemed to extend into forever, nothing happened. Smiling, Han reached for the weapon. Then, as the light from outside was fully blocked by the flow of descending, accumulating dark energy, Ren ignited the lightsaber, and the fiery red beam lanced outward to pierce Han's chest from front to back.
Thank you,
Ren murmured, And truly the darkness above was mimicked by the darkness in his voice. From their perch high above, Finn and Ray gasped simultaneously.
Solo! Solo!
Finn put an arm around the girl beside him.
Ray! No!
She whispered.
No! No! No!
Accepting without quite believing, Han stared back into the face of the creature that had been his son. There was nothing to see there, only darkness in the shape of a face. Alien, unthinking, unfeeling.
His knees buckled,
the beam tilting down with him as he crumpled. Ren extinguished it. For another moment, Han held on to the edge of the walkway. A rush of memories flashed through his mind. Worlds and time, friends and enemies, triumphs and failures. Words he wished he had spoken, and others he regretted. All gone now. Lost in an instant. Like the one he would never again be able to hold in his arms. Then he fell, to vanish into the depths. On another world, far, far away, a woman felt a shudder in the Force that lanced through her like a knife. She slumped into a seat, her head lowering, and started to cry. Stunned by his own action, Kylo Ren fell to his knees. Following through on the act ought to have made him stronger, a part of him believed. Instead, he found himself weakened. He did not hear the roar of the enraged Wookiee above, but he did feel the sting of the shot from the bowcaster as it slammed into his side, knocking him back on the walkway. Hostile fire being something the group of stormtroopers could react to without having to wait for an order, they immediately blasted back at Chewie. Returning fire, the Wookiee retreated down a corridor, hitting the switch on the remote detonator as he ran. First one charge ignited, then two, then four, and finally the rest. Enormous, concerted explosions rocked the interior of the hexagon. Walkways collapsed, plunging to the bottom of the interior cylinder. There was shuddering as the walls trembled, held, and then began to fail as their main support and then subsidiary columns snapped. Amid the rising bedlam and confusion, Kylo Ren struggled to stand. As he did so, his gaze turned upward to meet the stares of Finn and Rey, peering down at him. The shock of recognition helped him to regain his footing. Rising to his full height, he started back along the still-standing walkway, moving with determination, heading upward. Taking their cue from their leader, those troopers who were not pursuing Chewbacca began to fire at the two figures on the lower level. A crazed, heartbroken Rey returned their fire. She would have stayed there, blasting away wildly, had not Finn half-dragged, half-carried her away. High above, and swathed in the shadow of the curtain of descending dark energy, Poe Dameron saw something. An explosion on the roof of the containment center. By its intensity and configuration, he could tell that it was not the result of a hit from one of his X-Wings, but instead a blast from within. Swinging around, he found that for the first time, he could see the interior of the seemingly impregnable structure. It was an opening. A small one. One opportunity, maybe, given the way the fight was going. Probably a last one. All units, this is Black Leader. Target structural integrity has been breached. I repeat, target integrity has been breached. There's an opening. Now's our chance. Hit it hard. Give it everything you've got. Led by the Black Fighter, and ignoring both pursuing TIE Fighters and arcing Seekers, the remaining X-Wings broke off from defensive combat and dove as one toward the hexagon. A few strikes missed, detonating harmlessly against the still intact sides of the building. But the others, most, hit their mark. As Poe and his comrades pulled up and away, one detonation after another shook the great edifice. Gradually, almost in slow motion, it began to collapse, the walls falling in upon themselves. More significantly, gouts of flame began to erupt from below, rising from unseen chambers far underground. Letting out a yell of triumph, Poe accelerated skyward, heading for the outer atmosphere. Secure in his position behind the cockpit, BB-8 emitted a steady stream of excited beeps.
"All teams, nice job," Poe said to his fellow pilots. "General, the target's been destroyed."
Leia's warm voice filled his ears, but the message she delivered was an unexpected one.
"Good. Now retreat immediately. The planet could be unstable. Get out of there now."
Even with the relay in place, it took a moment for the message to be received. Poe didn't hesitate to reply.
"If we retreat, we leave our friends behind."
Having anticipated Poe's response, Leia was ready with her own.
"Poe, outside of those of us here, your group is all that remains of the resistance that's capable of putting up a fight. If you stay to find them, we lose you all."
"General, with all due respect, we're not leaving our friends behind. Teams, who's with me?"
He expected a delayed response. He was wrong. It came immediately from Snap.
"We're all with you, Poe. You know that."
A concurring yelp came from the ship piloted by the Sullustan, Nine Numb, followed by the others.
"Then let's go do some good and find them."
Chapter 18. Within the corridors and confines, the administrative rooms and technical control sectors of Starkiller Base, there was panic. Technicians reacted with despair as, despite their frantic efforts, one monitor after another went to red as critical systems began to fail.
"Lower order cells are overheating," declared one tech in the command center. "Emergency crew can't get to the site. Full system load shutdown."
When he turned back to Hux, there was a look in his eyes that the general had never seen in any of his techs.
"The oscillator is failing. We're losing containment. Oscillator has been hit."
Another officer struggled to keep the fear out of his voice.
"Assessing damage. Attempting to sustain power."
Hux watched it all in silence as he backed away slowly. There was no point in doing anything else, he knew. The tech teams would stabilize the oscillation of the containment field. Otherwise, there would be nothing to back up to.
"Come on!"
Seeking a path through the snow, shadows, and increasingly dark forest, Finn finally slowed. Where were they running to? In any event, both he and Rey were out of breath. When he looked over at her, he knew the same realization had struck her. It was good, anyway, to stop. Even in the artificial darkness, in the shadow of the curtain of descending dark energy, the forest felt clean. At least it did. Until a singular figure came upon them and uttered a single word.
"Stop!"
The three stood staring at one another. Finn and Rey, Kylo Ren some 10 meters away. As Ren reached for his lightsaber, Rey pulled her blaster, stepped forward, and took aim. Before she could fire, Ren raised a hand, halting her.
She strained against him, her anger giving her strength. But she couldn't fire.
He was struggling also against her newly discovered ability, as well as the wound inflicted by Chewbacca's bowcaster. Gritting his teeth, he flung his arm sideways in a single powerful gesture, and the blaster went flying out of her hand.
Inhaling deeply, he gestured again, and this time it was Rey who went flying, to smash into a tree nearby and slide to the ground, dazed and hurt.
"Rey! Rey!"
Finn started toward her, but the sound of Ren's lightsaber igniting made him turn. In the darkness, the hum and glow of the gleaming red weapon was mesmerizing. With nothing else to fall back on, and unable to reach Rey's blaster, Finn resorted to the only defense at his command. He pulled and activated the Skywalker lightsaber. For some reason, the sight of it was enough to give Ren pause. He stared at it for a moment before reacting.
That weapon is mine!
Finn all but snarled his reply.
Come and get it!
Drawing himself up, a towering figure in the snow, Ren did not even bother to gesture.
I'm going to kill you for it.
He rushed forward. Despite his fear, Finn raised the beam to defend himself. Ren lunged, struck, and Finn parried. Shards of light flew, illuminating the snow and the surrounding vegetation. Drawing back slightly, Ren considered his unexpectedly determined opponent, then resumed his assault with a vengeance. Finn blocked him again and again, once letting the other man's beam slide against his own and harmlessly off to one side. He counterattacked, to no avail. The longer the contest continued, the stronger Ren seemed to become. It was as if he was enjoying the challenge, feeding upon it. At least it appeared so, until Finn parried, swung, and unexpectedly stabbed the tip of his lightsaber beam, grazing Ren's arm. That made it more than a challenge. Taking a step back, Ren reconsidered his opponent. When he closed the distance between them anew, it was with a purpose that had been previously lacking. Expecting an execution, he had found a contest. Now he had been touched. It was time for play to end. Advancing relentlessly, he was driven by something that Finn could not even sense, far less counter. Still, the ex-trooper fought back, until Ren landed a blow that cut across Finn's chest and sent the lightsaber flying from his hand. It landed in the snow, 6 meters distant. It was over. Switching off his own weapon, Ren extended an arm toward the device lying in the snow. It twitched and then began to vibrate as the Force called to it. Stretching out his hand farther, straining, Ren beckoned powerfully, and the lightsaber rose to come bulleting toward his outstretched fingers and past them. Taken aback, he whirled to see the weapon land in the hand of a girl standing by a tree. Rey appeared equally shocked that her reach for the device had exceeded his. She gazed down at the weapon now resting in her grip. It is you, Ren murmured. His words unsettled her. Not for the first time, he seemed to know more about her than she did about herself. But she had no time to ponder his comment, nor was she inclined to do so anyway. She was too consumed with rage. Holding the haft of the lightsaber in both hands, she ignited the beam and charged. Ren met her with his own weapon alight. Expecting weakness, he encountered only strength. Her skill with the device was raw at best, but it was backed by a fury that was as new to his experience as it was unexpected. When the beams of their lightsabers crossed, the resulting burst of energy lit an entire section of forest. Within the base, pandemonium reigned as buildings began not just to crumple, but to collapse into a succession of huge sinkholes as the ground itself surrendered to the slowly failing containment field. Observing the cataclysm out a command center window, a young tech rushed for the presumed safety of the building's interior. A senior officer confronted him, stopped him.
Lieutenant, back to your station!
fully aware that in the present situation, rank no longer meant anything, the tech paused only long enough to reply,
Look, we won't survive here! Even Hux is gone!
He pushed past the dazed officer, who this time did not try to stop him. In the darkness of the cavernous assembly room, Hux stood before the image of Snoke. Try as he would, it was proving increasingly difficult to maintain a semblance of control.
Supreme Leader, the oscillator is failing. The collapse has begun.
He looked downward.
There is nothing that can be done.
Furious as he was, Snoke knew there was nothing he could do. So many plans, so carefully laid, so many intentions that must now go unfulfilled.
You will leave Starkiller at once and come to me with Kylo Ren. Leave immediately,
he added grimly.
It appears that he may have been right about the girl.
To an observer at a distance, it would have appeared as if a series of small explosions was going off in the depths of the forest. Blow after blow landed as lightsaber struck against lightsaber. Though Ren was bigger and stronger than Rey, their struggle had nothing to do with physical size. What she lacked in mass, she made up for in ferocity. For a while, she actually drove him backward, until he regained his self-assurance and in turn pressed her. The fight continued to shift back and forth. First he gained the advantage, then enraged Rey took it back. There was a vast rumbling, as of a continent sighing, and a gigantic chunk of forest behind Rey simply collapsed downward, leaving her fighting on the edge of a cliff so high that the newly formed surface below could not be seen through the rising cloud of dust. Ren held his lightsaber poised to strike.
I could kill you right now, but there is another way.
Breathing hard, Rey looked up in disgust at the man looming above her.
You're a monster!
No, you need a teacher.
He was beseeching and insistent all at once.
I can show you the ways of the Force.
Slowly she shook her head.
The Force? That was what this was about?
Instead of moving to defend herself, Rey closed her eyes. Ren hesitated, confused by her actions. A long moment passed, in which Ren sensed a change in the air. A change in her. Then she opened her eyes and attacked viciously, in a way she didn't know she was capable of, striking again and again as Ren was slowly driven back. The flaring energy from the interacting lightsabers was more pronounced than ever in the flurry of her attack. And Ren went down. He was up again in an instant, but not in time to fully deflect a following blow from Rey's weapon. He succeeded in blocking it, but he still took the full force of the strike against the haft of his own lightsaber. The weapon went flying into the snow. Unarmed, he raised a hand and utilized the Force to fend off one slashing blow after another, until finally, her fury penetrated his remaining defenses. Taking a glancing blow to the head and chest, he went down. A prominent burn slashed across his face. Weakened, he reached out toward his lightsaber, trying to draw it to him. One downward cut, she saw. One quick, final strike, and she could kill him. The landing lights of a shuttle appeared in the distance, coming over the trees in her direction. She had to make a decision. Now!
Kill him,
a voice inside her head said. It was amorphous, unidentifiable, raw, pure, vengeful emotion.
So easy,
she told herself.
So quick.
She recoiled from it. From the dark side. The world shook beneath her as the ground began to split. Turning away from the injured figure, she ran back to where Finn lay badly wounded. A deep gully formed, separating her from General Hux and the arriving troopers. Utilizing the tiny position sensor emplaced in Ren's belt, Hux had tracked him to this spot. He would have taken Rey and Finn as well, if not for the command that had been issued by the Supreme Leader. That took precedence over everything. There was simply no time left. The two renegades were going to die here anyway, he told himself, as he followed the troopers carrying Ren into the nearby shuttle. As soon as he was aboard, it lifted off, its occupants desperate to flee the dying planet. Below them, Rey huddled beside the unconscious Finn. Turning him over, she recoiled from the wound Ren had inflicted with his lightsaber. The blow had cauterized instantly. In the dim light, she couldn't estimate its depth, nor if it had passed through any vital organs. Holding the unresponsive body in her arms, she started to cry. There were worse ways to die, she told herself, as the ground continued to shake and trees began to topple around her. No, she corrected herself bitterly. There was only one way to die. She steeled her thoughts. The glow that enveloped her and Finn did not come from the planetary core. It was too bright, too localized. Raising a hand to shield her eyes from the approaching glare, she squinted into the brilliant light. It took a moment to resolve itself into the scanning beams of a ship. A ship she recognized. Rising from the vicinity of the new canyon that had appeared behind Rey in the course of her battle with Kylo Ren, the Millennium Falcon came toward them. Considering the general conditions and the unstable surface, its pilot made a surprisingly smooth touchdown. She would have thrown herself into Chewie's arms had he not stooped immediately to pick up the limp body of Finn. Given a chance, she would have remained in the medbay where the Wookiee set his burden down. But despite its added modifications, the Falcon still flew better with someone in the co-pilot's seat. In moments, they were beyond the atmosphere of the imploding planet. The jump to light speed was accomplished without incident, preventing them from observing the final cataclysm, which was just as well. A moment after they fled, Starkiller Base System became a binary. Poe, having called in his teams in relief after spotting the Falcon leaving Starkiller Base, was waiting for the ship as it touched down on Dakar, settling into a vacant space between the remaining Resistance X-Wings. Even before the boarding ramp hit the ground, Chewbacca was emerging, moving fast with the still-breathing Finn in his arms. Medical personnel and officers waiting to meet them escorted the pair inside the complex. Following in the Wookiee's wake, an exhausted Rey found herself greeted by a cheering crowd. Leia Organa was in the forefront, accompanied by a pair of droids. Rey recognized BB-8 immediately and wondered at the identity of the gleaming golden protocol droid at his side. Instinctively, she headed toward Leia. No general now. Leia took the young girl's face in her hands. Though brokenhearted at the deaths of Han and so many brave pilots, Leia was grateful for the deliverance of the Resistance. In spite of the presence of the crowd that was looking on, the two women embraced without embarrassment or hesitation. Then, with tears falling, they moved inside. Hours passed without word from the medical center. When Dr. Colonia finally emerged from the intensive care section, Rey nearly fainted at seeing the smile on her face. The physician's words confirmed Rey's hope.
Your friend's going to be just fine.
Thank you!
It was all Rey could think of to say. Colonia looked down at her.
I don't get to treat many lightsaber wounds. It's such an old weapon. People today prefer to fight with rifles and blasters from long range.
She shrugged.
I suppose it doesn't matter. Death is death, no matter the mechanism that is employed to beget it. Her smile returned. But not for your friend.